Yeah, it's amazing power those directors have. Oh, well, good morning, everyone. I trust you've been enjoying this beautiful weather out there. A little drizzle today, maybe some sunshine. All right, well, turn with me to 1 Peter, and we're still in chapter 5, working our way down through. And we hit the first four verses, and we're looking at verse 5. We talked a little bit about it last week. We talked about, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we again thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the encouragement we receive from your word, that you show us our need to be in subjection one to another, and understanding that it's showing, as we talked about, this love that lifted us up out of the miry clay. And because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we are set up on solid ground, and we can love one another. We can show that love. We can show submission to each other to help in a good way, that we will encourage ourselves in growing in Christ likeness, growing in our understanding of what we're to be as servants on this earth. And Father, we do thank you. We do pray for those that are online, that this message will be useful to them. And we do pray for those that might be traveling, getting ready to come in services. Lord, we just thank you again. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the encouragement from your word. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, like I say, we talked a little bit about submission last week. And, it talked about us being submissive one to another. And in a way such that, it starts out with younger submitting ourselves unto the elder. And it's in a respectful way. It's not that, of ourselves we're worthy of it, but oftentimes they look on it on the elder, not as feeble, not as weak, but hopefully as wisdom. And they say white hair is a sign of wisdom. Well, I guess I got a bunch of it, somebody says. I don't know where it's at, but, it's there. But oftentimes we realize that we can learn a lot from older folks. One, because, a lot of us made a lot of dumb mistakes, and hopefully we can convince others not to do them. It's like a little meme I read the other day that says, I did some really young, dumb stuff as a young kid. I just still do the dumb stuff, only slower. Yeah, it oftentimes is that way. But, the beautiful thing about being in subjection one to another as Christians is that we do hold each other up. We become a matrix that is so strong that, when Christ set his church up, he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And, each one of us, by being held up one with another, knowing Christ is our Savior, we're stronger than a brick wall. We're able to hold together, and when one hurts, we all hurt. And that's what really is the real basis of it. We help each other when we need help. And maybe we need some time in prayer one with another. Maybe we need to be able to maybe share where we're at, studying something and realizing that, this is what the Lord taught me. I want to share that with somebody. And, we kind of hold each other up that way. And it's really, we want to be like our Lord and Savior. We want to be an imitation of him. We talked about, servants, how Christ stooped down and washed the feet of the disciples. And some of them, they were offended by that. You shouldn't be doing that. Well, he gave them a nice lesson in that, and that's a whole complete lesson all by itself, but it's just an example that we need to follow with it, which goes back to the first four verses where we talked about elders. If leaders in the church are not servant leaders, then they're really doing a disservice where they realize that, you know, I'm going to do it, not because I have to do it or because, oh, there's nobody else around to do it, so I better fall in. But they're willing to do that. And each one of us falls into that realm. And we look at that and understand that. But the idea with submission, it brings us to being humble. And the second part of verse 5 says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. And a question in the guide says, what does to be clothed with humility mean? Sister Lane? Put others before yourself. Yes. You know, I mean, there's a time when you need to, you know, put self, take care of self. You know, some people will neglect themselves to take care of others. And, you know, and there's some people that are commended for that. And they know that there's a point where it's being done, but they want to do it in such a way that we're not, you know, showing off. And that's not what humility is. And, you know, thinking of others, humbleness of mind, you know, when some people are just naturally, when they do something, it's a joy to watch somebody when they're given an accolade and the first thing they do is thank the Lord for being able to do that. And to me, that's a blessing. You know, I don't know what some of these people's spiritual backgrounds are, but when somebody says, thank the Lord that they gave me that ability to be able to do this, that says a lot about that person. He's not saying, yeah, I spent years, you know, training or studying, and oh, I got all these accolades behind my name, and I was able to do this because of the knowledge and the skill that I gained. Well, that may be true, but still, those that put the Lord first and say, it's because of God that I've been able to do this. It's because the Lord gave me direction that I'm able to do something like that. And so it doesn't make them depressed or anything like that. There's some people that say, well, you know, you're always doing things for others. Doesn't that affect you a lot? Well, it might affect them in just a way that, well, I can help others. I'm glad I can do that. Sometimes people say, well, yeah, but you're not taking care of yourself. It's kind of like years ago, the shoemaker, his children didn't have shoes. Or the car mechanic, he's driving a car that barely runs, but everybody else's is just fine. You know, just things like that. And people sometimes do that so that they know, but they're being taken care of. I think of George Mueller, if you read stories about him and just what he went through. The man was very humble. They'd sit at the table, pray for the food, and all of a sudden, they would show up. I mean, there's just stories like that. That's somebody that's a servant of the Lord. And he knew that it was going to be supplied. I'm impressed with people that, you know, ask for unspoken requests. And they see the Lord's hand in it. And when it happens, we don't know what was going on, but all of a sudden they can give praise to the Lord for that answered prayer. You know, it's one friend of mine says, well, it's no longer an unspoken request because they asked for that request. But I said, well, they didn't say what the request was. Yeah, but it was still, okay, I follow. You know, they in their mind didn't fully understand what that meant. They said, no, I want to give God the glory. And that's one, to be clothed with humility. Romans 12:3 says, for I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And as I was going through and studying that, there was a lot of Old Testament that was being referred to. We look on where God looks doesn't reward Proverbs 3:34 says, "Surely he scorned the scorners, and he giveth grace unto the lowly." Well, when we look down through, humble yourselves, therefore, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That's how God looks at the world. And he knows that there's people out there that will give themselves accolades. They'll break their arm patting themselves on the back for doing something. And that's a lot of times our natural tendency. Hey, did you see what I did? I was able to. Well, there's a time and place to show that off, but it's one where, okay, let's give God the glory for doing that. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." And as one person put it, it says, humility involves viewing ourselves realistically. God deserves a credit for all that we are and have. This virtue should cover our being as our clothing covers our body. That's how we should approach it. When we ask Christ to save us, we didn't bring any special talent to him and say, "Hey, look at me. Save me because I can give you." No, we come there and we're completely bankrupt. There's nothing possible to happen. Some people to turn their lives around have to hit absolute rock bottom to get turned around. But then there's others that realize early in their life that without Jesus Christ, we're going to die and go to hell. Like it's with me, when I got saved, it took a major tragedy, a potential major tragedy that could have ended my life and 130 other men. But it didn't. And yeah, I look back over that, and that's 50 years ago now. And a lot of men that I was with me on the boat at that time, they've all professed to know Christ as their Savior. You know, this is years later. Now, during that time frame, you know, a lot of us didn't exhibit a good walk with Christ because, well, a lot of us weren't taught. It was later on in life that we realized where we were, what we needed to do. Philippians 2:3-4 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also the things of others." And it's like so many things that I've learned, and my wife and I have learned through our walk, that it's because there were men of God that taught us. And like I said, we've been in this church longer than we've been in any other church. And honestly, we've learned under a great shepherd. That's what those first four verses all talked about. We're being fed. You know, and it's interesting to go to another church and listen, and it's like maybe a bit of a dessert, you know, so to speak, a little tidbit of a change in diet. And then when you come back, it makes you realize, wow, this is what I missed. This is what is so good. And really realizing that God's people help all of us be humble. You know, and it's not, like we've always said, it's not a depressing view of ourselves, but it's one that kind of exalts us in one way, not intentionally exalting us, because others will see that and realize, wow, that person really gives of themselves to help others and makes them humble. And it's obvious, God knows how we act, and he treats us accordingly. Psalms 138:6 says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." It's kind of an interesting when we look at people that maybe get accolades for all the accomplishments and, you know, spout off about how they do. God remembers those people. Sometimes he shows us right up front what might happen to somebody, or what he knows what it will take for that person to realize okay, I don't need to quit. I need to quit building myself up and realize how much I help others. I think, there, you know, you look at professional sports, you know, today obviously being one of the super days, but there are a lot of professional players out there that are humble in how they react, the causes that they help. Yeah, they play on Sunday, most cases. There are a few of them that make sure that they're in church of attendance somewhere, or that have been, you know, studying before they go out there. There's some out there that give very benevolently just so that they can show off. There's others out there that their heart is right with the Lord, and they're giving of a lot of other areas. And it's wonderful to see that. So some people can be very popular and be able to do things. But, you know, Peter is warning here that God resists the proud, and he, as Psalms 3:34 says, he surely scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly. And when we think about this, the Lord treats them as they treat others. When it comes time, some people are going to be reminded how they treated others, how they were humble. Did they despise people? Just do it because, yeah, I can do this because I can afford to do it. And I'm going to show people that I can afford to do things. There are people like that out there. And we're all sometimes going, why do they? And, well, like I say, God does not forget. God remembers. There are things, we look at James 4:6. He says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And as I was looking through here, a verse that showed up was, I just lost it out of my mind. Well, in Psalms, where he pointed out that we're to be high, yet he respecteth unto the lowly, and proud he giveth thereof. And I was looking at one where, I think it's Psalm 55, where David was pouring his heart out. And it basically was saying that he was measured a certain amount of a burden that was given to him, but he measured the grace to overcome that burden. And it was measured out for that, for what he needed at that time. And I think of when we studied in James, and we studied earlier in Peter, about when trials come, they're measured out. God knows just what we need. He knows what will actually enhance us. It's like getting the right color mixture in paint that you want to mix. Pastor was a painter, and making sure, you know, when he went down, somebody would pick out a paint color, and he went down to make sure that when it was mixed properly. And, you know, they always put that little spot on top of there and let it dry for a bit so you know what it's supposed to look like. But then again, you might put a primer coat underneath there that's not really an enhancing primer, and all of a sudden it made that color look different. Well, God knows exactly the right mixtures that each one of us needs to make our life an enhancement, and to show us, you know, how humble we need to be. Because if we think about that, until we got saved, we really weren't humble. There are people out there that are naturally humble in some ways. But until we get saved, we truly don't know what humility means. And realizing, how humble was Christ when he went to the cross for us? You know, he stepped out of heaven to come down here to us, to take on a body, to learn what we learned. You know, and where Hebrews points out that, you know, we have a priest that has essentially gone through all of the things that we have. He grew up just as a child. And he grew up realizing what it meant to trip, stumble, and skin your knees. And, you know, I'm sure there were all sorts of things that he did as a child that he did that was very natural, that were not supernatural. Yet within him was God. You imagine, well, you know, God was a baby at one time. Uh-oh. Now we're talking about something here where, okay, Mary's not there. He wanted to let us to experience what he had created. He knew what it all meant. He understood that, but yet he needed to go through everything that was necessary to prepare Christ to be our perfect sacrifice, to walk through this life showing human beings that, yep, it's possible to be perfect, but you got to be me to be perfect. And because of him, we are perfect. And it's only through him. And one day we will be with him. And, you know, like James 4:6, you know, where he says he giveth more grace, and where he resists the proud, he giveth grace unto the humble in such a way that as we need it, he gives us that grace. He gives us that ability to be able to understand it. And Albert Barnes made a note here. He says, but he giveth more grace than the humble. It says, God gives grace. He not only gives grace at first to make them humble, but he gives them more grace, or increases what he gives. Grace is God's gift. He gives all the grace that is in Christ. It's a free gift. It's given of the will and good pleasure of God, to whom and when and in what measure he pleases, to which he is not induced by any motives in man, for they have nothing in them to move it to him. It is given by him absolutely without conditions, not suspending it until the performance of them. He gives it cheerfully, not grudgingly, largely, bountifully, and in great abundance. And basically, you know, it says he bestows a positive favor to the humble. In other words, he brings us along as we need, and he makes sure that that's the exact amount that we need. No more, no less. It's like, you know, God is always on time answering our prayers. He's never late. He's never early. But he's already got the answer there for us. And realizing that we, as we go through there, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To God, it's light. It's easy for him because he created all of this, but yet he does it knowing what we specifically need. And by doing that, allowing ourselves to be humble is not a natural act. It's not really very, very easy to do. Some of us, it might be easier to do just because of maybe our mannerisms or we've realized early in life that I just need to be able to help where I can. Some people know that. There's others that it's difficult for them to, ask for help. It's also difficult for them to give help. And God uses that sometimes in our lives. He might put a burden in there to where somebody realizes, I haven't been very good at this. And God, I guess you're giving me the message. I need to be a little more humble. I need to be able to reach out and realize that, yep, like that country music star, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Well, some people think that, and it's not right. You know, the Marines had that, the few, the proud, the Marines. And to be all you can be, and all those philosophical meanings, that's what the world wants of us, you know, to get all you can get, to make everything, you know, the best for you, rather than there's some people that make it the best for themselves and then help somebody else with that. Maybe they learned a new skill and they're going to share that to help somebody out. You know, and we see it all around with groups that are helping people. You look at, there's groups out, Tunnels to Towers, for instance, that helps disabled or the Wounded Warriors or disabled veterans and things like that, that somebody gave a sacrifice. They're crippled. They lost a limb. Their spouse might have died. and somebody steps in to help them. Well, that's what, as a Christian, we do a little more naturally than some of these people do. Some people have the means to be able to help it. They might have the right heart attitude, but we don't often know that. It's when they do that, like I mentioned earlier, that they're given the glory to the Lord. They say, the Lord bestowed on me an ability to do things. There are men that have the ability to be able to make money on something and then turn around and give it away. You know, I think of men in history that were very good businessmen, financiers, and instead of living an overly lavish lifestyle, they lived a lifestyle that they needed to make their business grow, but they gave away most of their income and lived that way. And you can go down through history, and there are men that lived on a small portion of what they made and gave most all of it away. And they were very humble in how they did that. But when a man with an affection chooses, for instance, an example, chooses a physician and willingly submits himself to the surgeon's knife, knowing that the benefit of the health to be gained. In a similar way, Christian, sensing the corrupting foe of pride, submits himself to God for corrective surgery, to display a spirit of humility, to be like Jesus Christ. It's kind of an interesting way for us to look at that, that we, when we got saved, willingly submitted to God's will. And there are people that get saved that resist God's will. God will take care of them. But then there's others that, as life goes along, that have learned that I need to do what God wants me to do. I think of our missionaries. There's lots of men out there that gave up good jobs and says, I need to be a missionary and go somewhere and realize that it's not an easy life, but they're presenting the gospel, or they're in a helps ministry of some sort, or something like that. I think of the Christian Law Association, and by rights, they could be bazillionaires, I guess, if you want, taking on the lawsuits that they do. Most of the time, they're doing it and not getting paid for it. There's people that do that. There's others out there that give. You would never know that they did things like that until somebody comes up and says, I'm thankful to so-and-so for them helping in this area. And that person would say, be quiet about that. I want other people to know. Sometimes it's like, well, if they know that I do this, they'll come up and ask me for that. Not really. Most people that are doing to help others enjoy helping others. And that's the joy. And it says, as we look at this, that in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And another comment here, it says, when we shall see it to be a proper time, they might be assured that this would be done at some time. He would not always leave them in this low and depressed condition. He would take off his heavy hand and raise them up from their state of sadness and suffering. Maybe somebody will see that. This would be in due time, that is, in the proper time, in the best time. It might be in the present life. It would certainly be in the world to come. There they would be exalted to honors, which will be more than an equivalent for all the persecution, poverty, and contempt which were suffered in this world. He may well afford to be humble here, who is exalted to a throne in heaven. That's a possibility. God also will exalt them, like it commented, in present time. He may say, this person needs to be an example to others to help them understand God will take care of them. You know, again, go back to the missionaries. Think of missionaries who go out in the field, and with a lot of the economic climate, oftentimes they find that they're struggling to make ends meet, but yet they trust the Lord to take care of their need. I think of, the Rogers that have had violence in the area, or when the Kleins were on the field, they had violence going on. There's others around. I think of the Weimers with volcanic activity and just being just 15 minutes from where they are at. You know, I see pictures. I don't know if you've been watching him on Facebook, but he's been sending regular images of it. You know, the eruptions will subside for a couple of days and they'll pop up again. They're close enough to see it, close enough to feel it, knowing, okay, any minute this could happen, but the Lord called us here. The Lord's going to take care of us. Think of the Kriegos and Virginios and the Taylors and just, you know, each and every one. The Herzls down in the southern hemisphere of having things happen there and then having doors open such that they can teach Christian Science in schools. God opens doors, yet they're willing to teach. They're willing to bring there. I think of the cooks traveling, getting ready, waiting patiently on the Lord. Now, you know, waiting for visas and things like that, knowing, okay, we're all ready to go. Lord, I'm ready. Lord, come on. And the Lord's going, just wait a minute. I want you to be patient. So what's Brother Matt do? I don't know if he took on that position with youth director, but they opened the door and says, we'd like you to help with the youth. Oh, but you can do all your meetings and stuff. We'll take care of you. You know, willing to do things. You know, just understanding that when we're humble, we're doing what God wants us to do. When we think about that, you know, a thought is when have you experienced God's grace after humbling yourself? You know, that's some time for us to think, a time to gather, a time to realize that, wow, God did bring me through that. God was able to help me with that. You know, I think of people that have taken on ministries that a friend of ours down in Grove, Oklahoma with the radio station I might have mentioned with them. Operation Shoebox, and she'd be doing it for 30 years. And each year, their goal is X number, and they people have given to them, and they've expanded to where to some of the shoeboxes it goes out to little children, some of it goes to young girls, and to teach how to live properly. Growing up as a young girl in some of these climates where immediately when a young girl turns into a teenager, all of a sudden she's either married off or whatever. But teaching them how to live a life that's honoring to God and realizing, okay, what do these people need and understanding some of the cultures. And it's so very important to think that, oh, she could be doing something else. She could be doing this, that, or whatever. And spending that time, it's all economy. We think of people here, the things that they do in a variety of ways. You look on that front part of our prayer list and the priorities that the people have given of themselves to be able to help other people. And that's what I'm thankful about this church. It's a church that helps. It helps people in a variety of different ways. Oftentimes, we only hear of something that happened when somebody gives a praise. And that's the big blessing. And as we look down through here, we need to realize that it's under God's mighty hand. He gives us that measure of grace to be able to be humble. And it does. It takes an effort. Constant prayer. Constant time before the Lord saying, Lord, help me understand what I need to do here. Being in subjection to one another. And one another, but also subjection to authority. We talked about that again earlier in Peter and in James. That if we're not in proper subjection to those that are over us in the church, in government, in our family, to realize that the world right now doesn't want any authority. They want to do as they want to do. And it's so very important for us to realize that one day the world's going to be under subjection, and it's not going to be the subjection that they asked for. It's going to be shown to them, and they're going to reap all the horrible things in this world. And I'm thankful that we're going to be raptured out. We're going to be taken out of this world. We're going to be brought before Christ to live eternity with him and to come and rule and reign when he returns. But the world is going to reap what they've sowed, so to speak. And that's why it's important for us now is humble ourselves in a lot of ways, sharing the gospel the way we need to get it out as often as possible. And it does. That requires humility. Sometimes when we should be handing a track out, we tell ourselves, I don't want to do that. I can't find a track, so I'm not going to worry about that. No. We need to humble ourselves to realize that the gospel is important to get out. And we're part of that. And without that, some of our family members are going to suffer an eternity away from God. And I think God will remind us of that. At the judgment seat, and sadly, that's going to be something that's going to be an embarrassment. I think Pastor mentioned it the other day. That judgment seat might be very public. Definitely be humbling at that time. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this church and what it stands for, that it's willing to get the gospel out, and to make sure that the gospel is taught. For those walking through the door, they're going to hear what they need from the gospel. It's not going to be held back. It's not going to be a hobby horse for the pastor, but it's going to be what needs to be said, needs to be taught. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful again for your blessings. We're thankful for the truth that we read in your word. Father, I'm thankful when you show us the steps that we need to take to realize to be in subjection one to another, but also how to be humble, not to be proud, not to be showing off our skill sets. There's nothing wrong with showing appreciation for things. But Father, we need to realize that you give us the wisdom and direction. You give us the grace when we need it to handle the situation, to handle the burden that's there. It's measured out. You know exactly what's there. You know what the burden is, and you know how much grace that needs to be there to make it so that it will glorify you, not to show ourselves off, but to glorify you in all that we do. And that's what our goal in this world is to glorify you in all of our action and to get to make sure that as many people are ushered into the kingdom. And Father, we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.